Morning, everybody. Okay, we're starting with Paragraph. Okay, Echa Yo'iv Be'apo. Yo'iv, this is the shoresh of clouds. Avim are clouds. So Echa Yo'iv means that God has clouded the relationship. We have to go through clouds in order to reach Him. Remember in the Bavli, the Gemara says that when they would establish fast days, because it's not raining in Israel, they would prefer to do so on a sunny day. Because on a sunny day, you feel your prayers can go straight up to the Shemayim. On a cloudy day, the clouds.
Dominion.
Dominion is at 8, 5, 10 to 8. 10 to 8. So that's Echa Yo'iv Be'apo. So God in His anger gives us clouds. Now, wait a second. Clouds is what we need for the rain. We want clouds, right? So it's almost like paradoxical, right? You're supposed to feed a cold and starve a fever, yeah. Because that's supposed to be good advice, right? Yeah, but you don't want to fast on a time where people need to eat because there's a pandemic going around. You need your I remember at the beginning of COVID, the rabbis wanted to make a fast day. And they were saying, no, you need to have your resistance in order to fight off the pandemic.
If you're infected.
Right. So anyway, you get that. Okay. So it says, Hashem espas tzion, Echa Yo'iv Be'apo Hashem, espas tzion yishlit mishamayim eretz. You have cast us down, as if though every nation has like a guardian angel up in Shamayim. And God casts down the guardian angels of each particular nation. Now, am I saying something heretical even? Now, this is in Sefer Daniel. Daniel talks about each nation having Daniel talks about each nation having a guardian angel. So Hashem throws them down to the earth, and therefore the people are not protected. Right? Tiferes Yisrael, the grandeur of Israel, has been cast. But lo zachar ha'adom raglav ba'yom ha'pah. God did not recall his Adom Raglav. Now, that's a terminology that it's rare in Tanakh, but you're familiar with it from Tehillim. In the Tehillim that we say when we march the Torah around at the before Musaf, you refer to God's places, the earth as Adom Raglav. Actually, in Kabbalah, the Adom Raglav is the Beis Hamikdash. God doesn't have feet, so how does he have a footstool? Right? The footstool of God is the Beis Hamikdash. Why? Because it's the conduit. God is on his throne, the conduit between God and the physical world is the Beis Hamikdash, right? So often in Tanakh, in Shir Shirim Rabbah, the shoulders of the person is the same thing. Why? Because the shoulders separates from the Elyonim to the Tachtonim. And this is really the separation, not the waist. The head is the
Harabayas is called the shoulders.
Exactly. All over Chazal, you see shoulders representing the Beis Hamikdash. That's why when Binyamin and Yosef are crying at each other's shoulders, and Rashi brings down Bereishis Rabbah.
The assumption is they're hinting about where the Beis Hamikdash.
They're crying over the lost temples that are going to be destroyed in the other one's area. Right? Yosef is in Shiloh, it's Ephraim, and Binyamin is in Yerushalayim. Okay, Bila Hashem v'lo chamal. God devoured without pity. Right? He's one of those. This is just a preview of Lo Chamal. Es Kol Naos Yaakov. All the cities of Yaakov were destroyed. Haraspe Vasol Yitzrei Basiluda Yigia La'aretz. And these are simple pshat. Just read it in English translation of this, and it just means that we see that the great towers, the great edifices. Not only dotted Yerushalayim, but was the skyline far was it had been taken to the ground. Hillel Mamachav Misabecha. He has profaned the kingdom as well as all the offices. Okay. Gimel Godah B'chari Af Kol Kerem Yisrael. Godah means to you, H-E-U, to cut down. In his anger, every now Karen in Tanakh is a metaphor for strength. Did he go? You see, Karen and Gada, you tell him? It's the same two words here. Right? God says, I will cut down the horns of the nations, of the wicked. You get it? That the horn represents their strength. Especially in Nebuos and Zechariah. That the horn that are being shaved off by a hero who saves Israel. Okay, Heshiv Achor, he sets them back in his right hand. The Gemara uses this, remember in the Bavli with Titus, is that God is holding back our hand even to defend ourselves. We just at least you can put up your hands and hold back the smacks and the punches. But no, God is holding your hands back. We're good gods. What you do to us? Right? Okay, so Vayivar Yaakov Keish Lehavo Achlos Aviv. So the fire burns among Yaakov and all around it. This may be describing a physical sight that Yiryam saw. Okay, so Darach Kashto Ke Oyev Nitzav Yimino Kitzor. So here also, Chazal Darshan.
That's very similar to the end of the Sefer Devarim, where Hashem says that he will send his poison arrows.
In Hazinu.
Yeah.
Yes. In other words, God is not only not protecting us,
right.
He's fighting against us.
Yes.
So how does this work? I mean, Avin said, remember I said that God doesn't punish us. He just leaves
us
Shechina. And here he's saying as if though he said, so that's from the standpoint of what Yirmiyahu, what it looks like.
So the outsider looks like a bunch of sparkles punishing.
It's punishing us. We have no defenses. So he's using that to go from that. Statement as if though God's bow and arrow are
like an against Kiryev.
Right. So you may know Kitsar, his right hand is cocked back like an enemy. Now Yirmiyahu is not holding any punches back, excuse the pun here, but he's acting as if though God is doing all these things. Right? It doesn't mean that God does these things. Right? His anger is pouring out like fire. Again, God himself seems to be like an enemy. Israel and all of its towers, all of its castles, God is destroying. The subject of all these verbs is God. Right? And Yahweh is holding God like this. He's holding God's feet to the fire here. So he's going, God, you're in charge. I know what you can do. Right? God is. Taniyah is from the Lashon of Omni. Aninus. You're familiar with that Lashon, right? Okay, which is a very harsh, very. We'll see in the Yishalmi. Whether Tisha B'Av is supposed to be like Avelus or Adinus, and the Nafkaminus. Today is
right.
In the Tanayim.
Before the burial or after the burial.
Right. Let's see what the Nafkaminus lie up. Okay? But it's really, now you see why in Chazal, Yirmiyahu is considered this great defender of Israel. Right? But just see, there are something where he puts the blame on his people as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. You see the word chamas there? Yirmiyahu creates a verb to chamas. It means to perpetrate violence. Okay. Remember two stories in Tanakh that involve the word chamas, most famous. Gracious, which causes a flood. And
So
Hamas share Yonah complains to the people of Nineveh that you are engaging significantly in Hamas that and it needs to be
that's from the Lamb. We use that phrase often. Melech the Kohen.
You might be more familiar with Kohen the Navi.
Right,
Kohen and the Navi, like killing Aaron the Kohen and Hur the Navi.
And Hashem said that back to us, but they didn't complain about when you killed the Zechariah.
So, in God's anger, he had a king killed and a Kohen killed. So who are these? So what kings were killed towards the end of the Svishan? Yoshiyahu was killed. Yehoahaz was taken away and never returned. Yahu was taken away. He wasn't killed, though.
But Hashem had the two kings of Yehuda and Shomro killed the sons of.
There were nine kings that were assassinated. Right. But it has to be around this time frame. What it just means is that the Melech and the Kohen at the high end of society, they're the ones protected. No, they're not protected. Okay. And he keeps it. It's very, very significant here that he puts God, everything is God. So, Nach Hashem is Becho. Nach is to utterly reject. Very harsh word. And of course, why does he use this rare word rather than a better word for rejecting? Because this is alphabetical. He has to get a word that starts with the letter Zion. Right? And the pasuk is alphabetical. Okay. Now, there is a Masoretic anomaly in Eicha that did not manifest itself yet in Perek Aleph, but does manifest itself in Perek Bet. And Yimon. Is that the pay comes before the ayin. In Hebrew and in Romance languages, think of that. J is what is yud. K is kaf. L is lam. M is met nun. Nun is. It goes. J, K, L, M, N, O, P is. So in these languages, the ayin goes before the pay.
On the
ayin,
there's
with
the words.
Yes, there is a drash. The letters are switched. Yes. I have the charts. There are some ancient languages that do switch the pay and ayin, ancient alphabets. So it does exist. But it doesn't exist in Hebrew and in Perek Aleph. He does put the ayin before the pay. So what message is he giving by switching those around? So it's a drash, right? But the very early in etymologies and the creation of alphabets, letters generally were words. The dalet looked like a delet, kaf looks like a kaf, right? And a bet looks like a bayit. Right, the gimel looks like a kamal, a camel. So the letters were somewhat hieroglyphic, and the peh represents the mouth, the ayin represents the eye. So ayin should precede peh because you shouldn't talk until you see and you know what you're talking about. Right. So this is the drash connecting to Meraglim, who spoke about what they didn't properly see. It's only superficial. So. Head precedes the ayin to plug into that drash. It's a drash. Okay, we're going to stop with this. Okay, that means we're stopping with Skirbi Eloheh, Chomosu Mosef, Almas, and the base of Shem Kiyomoyeh. We're going to continue with Pasuk Ches, that God utterly rejected us, not only us, but all of his holy places. You see, what doesn't appear in any source in ancient Near East is that there's no such thing, of course, I'm going to speak as a though, you know, it's idolatrous. But no god destroys his own temple. There's no such thing. A Philistine god would never destroy his own temple. He needs the temple for the food, the drinks, the women that are served up to him sometimes, the virgins that are slaughtered for him. So no god is ever known to destroy his own temple. So when God, this Yerushalayim is not the first temple destroyed. This is where the Ars is led. So when God destroys Shiloh and tells Shmuel in a night vision that Shiloh is about to be destroyed, right? And Shiloh is about to be destroyed, so God tells Shmuel, whoever hears this, their ears will tingle, because I'm destroying my own temple. Because God says, I don't need the temple for what the goyim think they're giving their gods. I don't need the sacrifice. And these are feirish prokim and tehillim. Remember, chapter 40 and chapter 50, both prokim and tehillim discuss this very point. I don't need your sacrifices. I don't eat them. I don't need the animals of mine anyway. I don't want you. I care more about the way your morality and the way you behave. Okay. All right. So that is that means that God will destroy his own temple. It's just a bunch of brick and steel and glass.
He's got also
stone that you're putting in there. Right? It means nothing to me. It's for you. Of course, it's holy. It's Kodesh Kedoshim. There's all these things going on there. And when Korach's men used their machtos, they became holy objects. But Moshe taught that to them by breaking the luchos. These luchos that God himself made have no holiness. But they only thought that the physical presence of the Aron will save you from those things. No, the Aron is just a box of wood and gold. It's not going to save you. If you're behaving right, yeah, it has great power. Remember that scene at the end of the first Indiana Jones movie. So it has great power, yes, but not in the face of your immorality. So that's what God told Shmuel. When people hear this, their ears would tingle. Why? Shiloh is not the first temple destroyed in the world, not the last. But it's God saying that means nothing to me. So that in Sefer Yirmiyahu, in chapter 7 and chapter 26, when Yirmiyahu threatens officially that the temple is going to be destroyed, right? The people are incredulous. God can't destroy them. He destroys his own temple. The temple will save itself. And Yirmiyahu says, no, go remember Shiloh. Both Prokim
remember Shiloh.
Both Prokim invoke Shiloh.
Yirmiyahu said that.
Yeah, I was just in Shiloh 2 weeks ago. Amazing how they remember Shiloh. Okay, so I think we're up to Amar Ablevi, Megillas Yochsin.
Yeah, Tani, Seder,
Chashim. Oh, Tani, yeah, okay, we did that. Okay, but this is actually... ending that sugya. We should have really finished the next few lines, because what is with the tangent of a tangent of a tangent? And so shortly at the bottom of this page, we'll get back to our sugya. But the tangent here is that since we were discussing the names of certain leaders, and certain mamados leaders, and the names, of, and then we got into a tangent about the different svarim found, and then a sefer of Yochsin, that tells us who is descended from David's brother, who is descended from Avner, who is the seventh from Yehoyada and Yehoyarib. So now we'll just do one more thing about that. Tani, Seder has saved Bisman Shehin Shtei Mitos. This is right out of the Gemara Brachas that you'll recognize. And it's a tangent on proper seating at a banquet or a meal, or a formal meal. What does this plug into? So remember we were talking about Shmuel sat, and the Rav sat, and right, who got to sit closer to the Nasi, who got to sit closer to the front of the shul. So, okay, while we're on that topic, you see the Yerushalmi works. The Bavli doesn't do this kind of stuff so much. Right? Okay? So it says, V'zman shem shtei mitos ha-gadol shebahen ola meisiv ha-rosh el yona v'ha-sheni lo v'matim imeni. So this is the order. We put this is also in Brachos, in the seventh parak, you may recall. So it's Osefta in Brachos. All right, so you have to see accordingly. Okay, the biggest person sits in the middle, in the front, in the head, right? And then they sat actually in like rows. And they called what they're sitting on mitos. The Sephardim sit like this now. They sat close to the floor, and they had like these benches to rest their arms on, and they sat against them. Now we're sitting on the floor, pillows, on beds, mitos. They didn't have chairs up here, right? And so, Bizman Shein Shalosh, Shalosh mitos, and there are three seats. Agogo Shibahen Ola, Umeisi Farosh, Ansias Vashen Yoga, Ashmi Shiva Lamata Yuen. So they would do like this, one, and then both sides, flanking him on both sides, so he can turn to each of them to talk to them. But they're sitting lower and lower. Okay. Chimas dirin the whole thing. Okay. So this is the way, even when they're walking, that you remember also from the Sefer Brachos, the bottle is in the middle, one is to his right, one is to his left. The second in command, the second in is on his right, the third is on his left. Okay. So Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, Avos Derech Hesed Heim Kvurin. Big machlok is about what this means. So we're talking about three eaters and three walkers. Okay, there are three Avos also. I was also in Tehran on this last trip. And I can tell you that for some reason, Avram and Yaakov's place is well open to the public, but Yitzchok not. So it's closed off. It's the biggest one. It's the biggest one. You can't get into Yitzchok's.
I don't know, you can get into
Abraham
and Yaakov.
Sure, sure. It's down in the middle of the time. And in the middle of the big room,
the big room is not next to the actual kevers. The kevers are lower.
Well, basically, you can actually walk in and say, this is where Abraham and Sarah are, this is where Yaakov and Leah are. But Yitzchak and Rivka are off to the side, and you can get in there. Anyway, so the question is, who is the gadol here, right? Is it Abraham? Is it Yaakov? Maybe Yitzchak. Right. So this is also a Zohar and Shlach that discusses this. I mean, you call it one to Hebron to gain solace from the Avos when everyone, all the other Meravim, were doing bad stuff. This is a Yavo and Hebron. So it discusses what he found there in the Zohar and etc. So by the standard, the Avos are buried, the three of them.
Also Adam and the father buried there also, right?
Yeah, true. But by the standard, though, the three, leaving Adam and Chava out of this discussion, Avram would be in the middle, right? Because son and grandson, you're the God, right? Okay? So Avram's in the middle. Yitzchak is above him and Yaakov is below him. And depending on how here is how it is in the Martin Rebbe. Here's Abraham. Here's Yitzchak. And here's Yaakov.
Who says those signs are accurate?
Yeah, it's pretty much the Muslims.
The Muslims have
been watching that over 800 years. They weren't allowed to go there. Jews were only allowed to go from far away to like the seventh step, and they were only allowed to look from far. They weren't ever allowed to walk in. Hundreds and hundreds of years. They did the same at the Kotel. I think that's what they called the Yom Kippur. They just looked look from far and they cried in Tisha B'Av and China. Rambam made his way to Marat Machbir. He made the seventh Cheshvan, I think, and he made a Yantav out of it. I went to a small group, but I said, listen, we took a taxi. It took us 25 minutes for Beit Shemesh.
Really? You have to go through a security corridor?
Yeah, it was so simple. I had someone who lives in Hebron, it's around the cost. But it was very severely simple. They actually closed roads on my way. If I had driven myself, I would have met it. But Lamaisa.
So are these all the same plane, or one is above and one is below?
It's on the same plane for the walkers. Walk in from here, if you've ever been there, you walk in from here up the steps. Yeah. So Avram is first on your right.
Yeah.
Yitzchak is a little further over here, closed off now. And here's the big area where everyone davens. Standards. We're in charge now.
Did I see anything that
happened? I didn't see in that area. I'm not sure. But what's interesting is that as you get in, Muslims also have a tradition. They have a place for Asaph also. What part of Asaph is
head? His head.
His head. Just his head. They have a tradition also. Okay, bye. So what does this mean? So it's that Avram is one mitzvah is above him and Yaakov is below him. So, but when Yitzchak was buried, Yaakov was still alive. And when Avram was buried, Yitzchak was alive. So when Yitzchak was buried, there were only two recliners, you know. And these two recliners, they should be side by side. They knew that Yitzchak didn't have a son that would also be buried.
Mm-hmm.
And this implies, the Zohar says, that they always knew that there would be three avos. Maybe Yaakov will also have only one child, and they'll go to son. You know, that's what Yosef was intimating, isn't it? By bringing bad reports, and the brothers would say, are we all going to fall out like Esav fell out, like all of Avram's other children fell out? And there's just going to be four patriarchs, and we'll just disappear into oblivion. That's why they took a hard stance. Is okay if I go on?
Yep.
Rabbi Yaakov Baracha Vashim Rabbi Yasa. Rabbi Yasa in the Yerushalmi is Rabbi Asi in the Bavli. Okay? And we don't want to start with the, right? Just name backwards.
Yeah.
Again, avoiding the first Aleph. But then again, they thought names should be spelled with Aleph except God is an Aleph. No one else should have a name starting with an Aleph. Not too bad. Olam ein ha'olam omeid ela ala kabbalos. Okay, what are we saying here? This is in the Bible. Is that these mamados that we're holding for the Korban Tamei, because it says, which is in this week's parsha, right? Is what makes the world stand. So it's a very common thing in the Bible. That's why we read on the Mamados from Bereshis. Okay, you remember that from the Bible. So Mamtani, let's see a price. Shimon Hatzadik, Yomishori Princess of the Dora, who are you Omer? Al Shoshod Bim Olam Amir, Al Torah Al Modal Al Mitzvah. It's not advice, it's a mission. Okay? So this is why we meet gracious, because the world stands on the Kabbalos. Okay? That's why we recite Kabbalos in the morning. Okay. In the Bavli time, in the Bavli timeless, Hashem tells Abraham at the Brisbane Hamasarim all about his future. And Abraham says, God, what happens if we sin? Will we still deserve this largesse from you? Hashem says, no, if you sin, you have to bring a korban and get back in my good stand. So Yahweh says, what happens if we live at a time when we can't bring korbanos because there's no temple?
Study the halakha.
So Hashem says, study them, read them. Just read and read them. Okay. Right? So that is... Okay, so that's just that we need that point. You know, we need avoda, we need Torah and Gvulus Chasodim for the world to stand, but we also need avoda. Okay, it's not any one of these three. Imagine a stool. If you take away one leg, the chair will fall. Okay. So the question is, can one, if one can sustain the other two, which one is that? Shloshtan the pasuk echad. You see all three in one pasuk. The pasuk is in Yeshayahu. Vasim v'ray b'picha zu Torah. You would like to put in your mouth. Al pi adrei ma'ayun. Uvetzel yodin ki sisicha zu gmeres v'sadim. Spread the shade over others when you're being there for the time you need it. L'lamedcha shekol mi shehu asuk b'torah b'mimus chasadim zocha l'ishem b'tzilo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're involved in Torah b'mimus chasad, you're sitting in the shade of God. In Torah Shemayim b'yisod ha'aretz elu ha'karbanos. The third, the last thing in the pasuk is that God plants the sky and sets the foundation of the earth. What is that? What makes that happen? Korbanos. What's the implication here? That the avoda alone can sustain the universe. And obviously, you have to have Torah to know how to do the avoda. Right? We have the power of Torah and Chesed, and ending with the power of the Korbanos. Right. Okay, so Jews perform all three of these. Right, then we'll see what they call it. They call it Tsuyonim. Okay. The Tsiyon Amiata Elo Yisrael. When we perform all three, so then we're Mitsuyonim, right? That's Tsiyon. Okay. So I looked all over Tanakh and I couldn't find a place where Israel is called Tzion except this one pasuk. Okay? It means we're Mitzuyonim. Right? So to be a Zionist is not only
Yahweh, right?
Yeah. To be a Zionist is not only Sheol Perik
41, right?
51, 16. A Zionist is not only someone who loves Israel, the land of Israel. A Zionist is someone who loves Bnei Israel. Nice piece of learning. A Zionist means so. So where does the word come from? David built Yerushalayim and called it Ir Tzion. Right? So what does Tzion mean? It means Mitzuyan. It means outstanding. Tzion is a grave mark. It stands out. Holy, don't walk here. Right? That's why a grave mark was called the Tzion. Right? Tzion Pharos. Okay? Okay, one?
Yeah.
Tamam Taninim, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. I did, you know, it's interesting. I did this once in the Pirkei Avos class. I compared the early Mishnah in the first parak, Al Shloshah Dvarim HaOlam HaMeid, Al HaTorah, Al HaAvodah, Al Mitzvasim, very famous Mishnah, perhaps one of the most famous Mishnahs in the Pirkei Avos, famous song, right? But at the end of parak, I have a lesser known Mishnah, it says, Al Shloshah Dvarim HaOlam Kayam. Here's the world stands on three, here's the world is found on three things. What are those three things? Emes Din Shalom, truth, law, peace. So, the proper thing to do, which I'm not going to do here because it needs a half hour of the shiur.
That's at the end of Pirkei Avos, right?
End of Perek Aleph of Pirkei Avos.
End of Pirkei Avos.
The beginning of Perek Aleph. I should remember how
I made it. End of Perek Aleph.
Torah, what did this for something? Now, so the first thing to do is there a deal to be made between Ha'olam Omeid and Ha'olam Kayam? Surely, of course. One is that it's founded on, the other one, it continues to stand. Foundation is before you can stand. Second thing is there a difference between the two people who say these things? Shimon HaTzadik lived at a time of prosperity for Jews. There's a few places in Shas talk about the great prosperity, the sizes of the fruits and vegetables and then the beans in the time of Shimon HaTzadik. And it was a time that Alexander the Great was kind to us and that allowed us to thrive. However, the one that's at the end of Parabolic is Shimon HaMeir, is one of the 10 martyrs. He lived at a very bad time. Right. So that's another thing. I won't elaborate, but the question is that MS Din and Shalom, right, is what we want to get out of Torah Avodah Chasadim. Torah. The question is, Milas Chasadim is probably Shalom.
Right.
The question is between MS and Din. So MS is Torah. MS Kneval Tinkor is Torah. So how is
Avodah Torah?
Because what is avoda? It's the limb that we call.
We're asking for mercy from Kadosh Baruch
Hu. Yes, the tefillah. Tefillah. Why is prayer called tefillah? What is the shor? No, the shor of tefillah is plilim, which is judges. In Parshas Mishpatim, it says, if you have such a court case, take it to the plilim. Mazeh. Ve'amod Pinchas v'yipaleo. The Gemara darshans to mean that he prayed with David. Means, no, he judged. What am I supposed to do right now to these two people? Right? So when you ask for something, You go to your boss's office and ask for a raise, you're about to be judged. Someone's going to have a meeting to see whether you deserve this or not.
To judge us, of course.
Yeah? All right, so that's what Hodes did. And this is Torah. Shalom is used. It's the ultimate purpose behind these things. Torah, so I can find truth. Chesed, so I can bring shleimus and peace to the world, and Hodes, so I can have a good judgment. Okay. Right? Okay. Rabbeinu Yonah in his commentary to Pirkei Avos makes a lot of these points. The differentiation between who says it. Okay, Shloshim Devar Echad, Nase Hadin, Nase Emes, Nase Emes, Nase Shalom. You have Din, truth emerges. In the case of Din, you can never pervert justice. You're in Bali Alba. Okay, Nase Emes, Nase Shalom. Mer of Mana, Shloshim Pasuk Echad. Pasuk in Zechariah. Emes u mishpat shalom shiftu b'sharich. Mishpat meaning din. Okay.
Walking
out. Another one?
Yep.
Yom Rishon korim harishis yirakia. Vasheni yirakia yikav amayim. Vashlishi yikav amayim yihima oros. Vabi yihima oros yishutsu amayim. Chamishi yishutsu amayim. Batotze aretz. Vashishi batotze aretz. You're reading basically that day's creation on those days of the week. What's the problem? What's the problem with this? That when you read the Torah, you're supposed to have three aliyahs. These paragraphs don't have enough space for three aliyahs.
Ah, each one of them is a sentence or two.
Okay, now since we don't do this anymore, we don't have mamados in these Torah readings, I'm not gonna elaborate on it. The Gemara tells you, Machlok is Rav and Shmuel in the Bavli, whether you should repeat Sukkim or whether you should cut Sukkim in half. Okay? But there is a very common leaning where we have to do something.
Rosh Chodesh
has three parshios in it. In order to, we have to do more, we have to get four leanings at least. First parsha has eight Sukkim. It's called Milach Miration. Second parsha has two Sukkim with Yomash Shabbash. Listen to each other. Third parsha of Rosh Chodesh has five Sukkim. How do we get four aliyahs out of this?
When you have to
do the following. You have three Sukkim per aliyah, but you can't begin a pasuk or end a pasuk within three Sukkim to the beginning or the end of the paragraph. See it? Very famous. So you can't begin an aliyah within three psukim to the end, the beginning, nor end within three psukim to the end. So what we do, however, Ramban points out, is a problem. Because we do begin the second aliyah within three psukim. Because we repeat pasuk three. Right? So we're beginning too close.
To the beginning. We're getting too close to the beginning.
Two psukim ahead of it. So what the Ramban says to do, since we paskin the repetition of a pasuk is better than a pasuk in half, perfectly. Right? There, you go. What Ramban does is he reads four psukim for the first one. Then he starts with five, six, seven, and eight, so he's not within three. There's five, six, seven, and eight. Aliyah number two. Now, how are you going to get two aliyahs out of these? Can't. You can read this two, and you read one, or even two here.
You have to do it within three at the
beginning. So what he does is he reads aliyah number one, four. Aliyah number two, four. Aliyah number three. He repeats the whole eight.
The whole eight.
Because once you're repeating, you don't stop in the middle. You just repeat the whole eight. And then aliyah number four is this 77. So Ramban's Rosh Chodesh Aleining has 23 psukim in it. Right? Okay. All right, so that's it. In order, they had to have three aliyahs. Okay? Okay. So there is, on this topic, there's an interesting thing, is that the Gemara says that that Ezra established the Takana to lane with three aliyahs and at least 10 sefer. It's a Gemara in Bava Kamma that pay off. But Tosfos asks, isn't there a machilta that says that they traveled 3 days in the desert and couldn't find water and Moshe was misaking? That you have to lane at least every 3 days? Don't ever go 3 days without the waters of Torah. We have Shabbos, Monday, we have Thursday. So there's the question. Does Moshe make his takana or does Ezra make his takana? What's the answer? The answer is presents itself. Moshe made his takana to read Torah. How many aliyahs? How many psukim? That's up in the air. It could be 3 psukim, it could be 7 psukim, 4 psukim. Ezra made its takana for 3 aliyahs, so from then on, whenever you read Torah, you have to have at least 3 aliyahs. So, as such, these mamados, how are we getting 3 aliyahs out? So that's machlokas. Should we cut psukim in half, or should we repeat psukim? Okay. So that's where we are here. To the end of this Mishnah, right? And then I want to say one very, very fascinating tshuva of Moshe Feinstein on Zadok. Parsha Gedola, Korin Osa B'Shnayim, Ketana B'Yachid. If it's a Parsha Gedola, so the two aliyahs out of it. Parsha Ketana, which is P'Psokim, you obviously have to read well. Shachos of Musaf and Mincha, Nechnosim the Korin Opin, and Korin Nishma. Shachos, Musaf and Mincha, they would read these aliyahs on the days of the creation. The Korin al Pihen, the Korin is Shema, and they would lane it by heart. Okay, because these were, right, because you have to be careful because, remember the fasting. Does this sound familiar? The Sechiz Yuma, the Kohen Gadol would read it Mincha by heart. Mm-hmm. Because it might be too difficult for him to carry a Torah around. He had to do all the work, so he would read by heart. Usually in public, you never do things by heart. Right? From Shem Chassad, you can't, written things you shouldn't do by heart in public. Mm-hmm. It shows also that throughout the time, that even things that are supposed to be Baal Peh, you shouldn't write down. That's only for public use. But for private use, people could always take notes. The famous Ran that's what's known as Megillah story. Yeah. They found personal notes of the Tanaim HaMoraim in between. It's called Megillah story. It wasn't for public use, it was for private use, but then people found it. Huh. All right, so that's why they read by heart here also, because not to be a burden for those who are fast. Erev Shabbos Mincha, Lo'im Nichnos Mincha, Erev Shabbos. But they're not Erev Shabbos Mincha, they did not, because remember, they're fasting, they don't want to fast right into Shabbos. Now, we have one fast that can't be on a Friday. It's a Aseret Teves. When a Aseret Teves does fall on a Friday, we fast right into Shabbos. First time you eat is when you get home from Shabbos. And we should not daven Klal Mincha and make it shortly. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I saw a tshuva that maybe an Eitzah when Yom Kippur falls on Friday, on the Shabbos, I'm sorry, the Kiddush is a Doraisa. Maybe I should make make Shabbos early and make a Kiddush before it's dark. You could do that, some people are going to do tomorrow. Right? No, because if you make it Shabbos, it's Yom Kippur too. You haven't accomplished it. Right? Okay, the Maisa. So it says here that they said we do on Friday, a Mincha and a Mincha Friday. Kol Yom Shiesh Bo Halel Din Bo Mahamad. If your Mahamad coincides with Hanukkah or Shchodesh, then you don't fast. Shachis Korban Musaf Ein Bo Me'ilah, the Korban Eitzim Ein Bo Mincha, to be Rebbe Kippur. So these are the days of the Mamados. We haven't discussed this yet. But there could be days where it's antithetical to fasting, like Hanukkah or Shchodesh, right? Or a day where it's own Musaf. Right? Shchodesh, Chol Hamoed. These Mamados are every day of the year. Okay, it might coincide with the Yom Tov. It's good when it coincides on the Yantif, because then you have the Nidarim and the Nidavos. Rashi, at the beginning of this week's parasha talks about that. Very angry. Look at Rashi, it talks about that. The Nidarim and the Nidavos that were brought on the holidays. Because why should you make a special trip? You're going anyway. So if someone has a mamados, he's getting lots of skins, he's getting the Nidavos. Giving them lots of gifts. The Kalanim will be there. And so, Korban Eitzim, we're going to see later. Now that you mentioned this, we're going to see the days that were efficacious for donating the wood. What day of the calendar is associated with wood donations?
So a bunch of days. Each one of the people who
correct.
Donate.
But what's the main one that even affects the minimum?
We don't see that.
Right. Two baal, really, with all the other things.
Each family had their own special day.
It's going to be this settled. Amalo ben Azai, kacha yorbi Yeshua shon, korban musaf ein bo mincha, korban eitzim ein bo me'ila. Chazer b'kili liyos shon nebi divir ben Azai. Wow, Rabbi was a Talmud. Very interesting Mishnah here. Says that Akiva chose to learn off his Talmud. We're going to elaborate on this I'm not going to dwell on it too much because it's a question of what happens if you have a musaf on the day of your mamad, not because of the mamad, but because it's musaf day. It's Rosh Chodesh. Right? But what I did want to discuss is in the Bavli in Megillah, we're discussing Havelin and Rosh Chodesh. And the Bavli here as well, on Tainis, discussing how they got enough olim out of these small parshas and bereshis. Look at the Bechonish, and you'll see the parshas are small. You know, the first day, second, the days of creation, you're reading, because the mamados are as necessary to the world as the days of creation. There's a problem with this relates to what we did yesterday with Masorah. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that there are 5,888 Pesukim in the Torah.
Yeah, it's off by
43.
It's off by 43.
Our Torah is 5,845.
Right. So there are some Pesukim in our Torah that are jumbo.
Jumbo that should have been cut.
It's 43 that should be broken.
So on the Bnei Yisrael Pesukim. That was a huge Pesukim. It should have been 2, maybe 3 Pesukim. Right? So that Pesukim are there. It's just that
the Pesukim.
Yeah, the break is... So the true member of Moshe,
and that's the number in the Gemara says that number. Where is that number?
1545.
Mincha Shai. Mincha Shai says.
You know, there's a middle pasuk of the Torah. Mincha Shai, and that pasuk says it's not the middle pasuk.
Darish.
The Rash. All three of those are off. So all right, but the pesukim and the words should stay the same. But all right, that's a different topic. But the pesukim. Right, you don't have a middle pasuk if you have 55, 58, 88 pasuk. And there's no middle pasuk when you have an even number. So the Maisa would
58, 88 is our permanent count, right?
58, 45 is our
count. 58, 45.
So Ramosha, it's an interesting pasuk. Because the Shulchan Aruch says that if someone lays two pasukim, and I've seen it happen. I saw it happen on Parshas Nitzavim. If someone lays two pasukim. And then the guy says, no, and the guy says the bracha afterwards, after laying again, because you can't lay two pesukim. So Moshe Paskin is that, you know, for someone on the spot knows enough to know this, is that if those two pesukim, one of them is big enough to sustain
two
esnachtas and two sof pasuks, it's big enough to break it off. So then that might be one of those 43 pesukim, and you don't have to.
Just a simple question. How do we know that Mincha Shai is correct also? Maybe his number.
Mincha Shai is it. You know, we have computers now. No, it's 5,845. We know.
No, but Mincha Shai says it's 5,888, right? He says that's what the count is.
That's a Gemara.
It's a Gemara in Kiddushin.
Mincha Shai points out, remember yesterday I mentioned him, right?
The Mincha Shai,
the last line. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin. 36. If you have the Mincha Shai, open up, he's usually in the first of the Gospels. Vayikra 8:8.
Well, I mean, he comments on the pasuk in Vayikra, so that
his last words are "Vatishbi etaretz." Eliyahu will have to answer this.
I mean, that's his comment on Vayikra 18:8.
8:8.
Oh, 8:8. Yeah.
So let's read a little bit of the Gemara and then the configuration of these three Elias, because you need three Elias and you need 10 children. Okay? Rav Huna Amar, Shlosh Kruyos, Shibatoro Loif Pesum Esau Pesachim. You need three Olim and 10 Pesachim. Exactly, you were gone when I mentioned that the Moshe, one Gemara says Moshe established, I believe, reading the Torah every day. Bava Kama says that Ezra was Messiah. What's the difference? Moshe was just said, read anything in the Torah.
Ezra so that broke it up.
Ezra broke it up into three aliyahs in 10, at least 10, something which Avram already sent me. Chizki Amar Kenegad Aseret Sedebros. Chizki says that these 10 Pesukim are Kenegad Aseret Sedebros. V'atzuninon v'yomar v'shon v'reishes v'irukiyah v'vad leis v'hun el etzmanya. You don't have 10 Pesukim there, you have only 8. V'vidya Amar v'spalvun v'anam v'asa chad Amar v'chuzer v'chana Amar v'chuzer. So here it is Rabbi against Kahana Vasa, right? This Asa is also some say it's Ravasi, is represented in the Bavli by Rav and Shmuel, more famously, in Megillah and in Tanis. Rav and Shmuel. So, okay, these are Rav and Shmuel were arguing in Bavel, in Herdea, and in Surah. And these guys are arguing in Israel. Okay, Yerushalmi is going to give you argument in Israel. Okay, what is the machlokes? So, one says itpalgun. Itpalgun means cut a pasuk in half. You can't do it to brace the Kim Tzishman Saretz. You don't have enough room there to cut that in half. Right? But you can do the second pasuk. The Haaretz says sova v'obuchol shechav neisahom. Cut it there. That's enough for us. So what you did was you took Pasuk Beis and now made Beis to be Beis and Gimel. Now I have not. I find another Pasuk goes later that they can be cut into two and then one tenth of it. You get it? And that's what we follow. So, Chosech means to cut it. Spalgun means to repeat. Right? In other words, the first aliyah read 1, 2, 3. Second aliyah read 3, 4, 5. Third aliyah read 5, 6, 7, 8. Something like that. Right? Okay, so that is that manifests itself in the same machlokes that I have right there. And I gave you a more common example of this here. Mandem achoser, poser shnei sein. Mandem achoser, but everybody both here pasuk b'nei atzmo. Actually, he tells you here, he doesn't give you the leeway to figure out which one yourself you want to do. Right? Because the Pasuk Be'er, Rukim is called a Shor Asa, we need to have Ma'ot. Stop there. Be'er Ray Bokri, Amashish. Now, that's all one Pasuk. But all the other Be'er Ray Bokri, Yom Chavish, is a Pasuk by itself. So, in other words, here, the Gemara is advising you to get an extra Pasuk. Here it just says to end with 9. This is, there is one Torah reading in the year that has only nine psukim. It's Purim. Purim is 9 psukim, but Yishlach has only 10. But Purim is only 9 psukim. What about Ezra's Takana? Well, there's nothing more than going to read the first pasuk in Parshas Yisrael. You're going to read one pasuk. You're going to read the four. Right? Okay, so the Gemara is giving you an Eitzah how to find it. So it depends on what the Gemara is just saying is that there are some cases within the 6 days of the Mamadams to read the 6 days of creation where it's better to cut in half and some are better to just repeat. Cut in half is where you have a nice big circle. There's some parshas that we don't have such people. Right? Okay, I think maybe we this is this place is not. Let me just read the Hasiv Rav Klipa Bar Krita. This guy is not found in the Bible. Klipa Bar Krita. Kumi Rav Zira. Rav Zira is Rav Zeir.
Yeah.
Sorry, Parsha Samalik. Oh, what about Parsha Samalik? You don't have 10 seconds. I just mentioned
nine. Yeah, you're nine.
Malay Shnayahi Shu Sigro Shalyon. He does, in other words, he's not telling them that you have to break up a pasuk in that laning to get 10, or repeat one to get 10. He's just saying that a malik, the parsha of malik, is different because it's the whole day, that's the whole Seder Yom, it's all I have. Pasuk of Blaz, about Maram Kumi Rabbi Yona, Ba'atani Amaftir, and Nabi Lohif Hosni Asun Be'echot Sukim. What happens here is the Yerushalmi does what it often does. It just asks a question, it doesn't even answer. Because this is a quite common thing. Is that the Bavli says that you're supposed to have at least 21 psukim for Haftorahs. Right? Three for each aliyah. There are many Haftorahs, like this past week, that don't have 21 psukim. Some do, but you know, that's not a standard. You want to go to
him? Yeah, I did.
It's not a standard that we're able to maintain. Okay? So what do you do about that? What do we do about that? Is that just like if it's the Seder Hayom for the Yavoh HaMalek, that's all we can do. So too, that's that problem. That's the Seder. Not going to start imposing the Haftorah on another parsha later in the Sefer that has nothing to do with this. Haftorah has to be connected to the Torah portion. It's not, if you're going to read this just as much as you need. Okay? All right, so. Okay, we are on target very nicely in our Gemara, so that I brought up Bavri Tainis, which is much shorter than Yerushalmi, just the last Mishnah. Just the last Mishnah that talks about that before fasting. Right? We haven't gotten there yet. But we're moving on with Halacha Dalos. The fast days of Halacha A, which is coming up. And then it's really large. So I suspect early, by next Tuesday, we'll finish till...
You should finish the Yerushalmi?
No, we finish till Halacha Hay. Halacha Hay is the bread and butter of why we're doing this. Until now, we're learning about the Maimonides, which is not really connected. So we don't know. We'll have to bother also if we get to that. That would be great. Okay, so our next learning is Monday.
His next learning is Monday.
Monday. No, it's Monday through Thursday. Not Friday.
Friday's off.
Okay, bye, everybody.